Well, good morning and welcome to Victory Baptist Church, and a very Merry Christmas to you. Let's take our Bibles for a scripture reading. We're going to go to the Gospel of Luke this morning. The Gospel of Luke and chapter 1. We'll read this portion of the Christmas story with regards to the angel appearing to Mary. So the Gospel of Luke Chapter 1, we're going to begin with verse 26. And let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. The Bible says, "And in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her, and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah. And she goes to visit there. Verse 39 tells us Mary hastily went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who was great with child. And then I'm going to read just verse 56. Going forward there to verse 56, the Bible says, And Mary abode with her, that's with Elizabeth, her cousin, abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. And I just want to notice the map here, just for the journey, just so you have an idea. Nazareth is way up here in Galilee, and that's where Mary was living, and that's where the angel appeared to her. Now, where her cousin Elizabeth was down in Judah, which was, or Judea, the parcel of land that was given to the tribe of Judah was right in this area, and that is also where Judea was. So Mary traveled this 80-some miles, 90-some miles, down into this region, into the hill country, the Bible says, to go and visit her cousin Elizabeth, who was great with child with John. And so that is just to see how far she went, and after the angel had spoken unto her. And we're going to turn to the Gospel of Matthew now, the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. We've been journeying through some of the personalities of Christmas. We talked really just about a few characters. First of all, we talked about Mary 2 weeks ago, and then last week we talked about the shepherds and how they were men who were conscious of God, and they were men who also were responsive to God, and so must we be. But today we're going to be looking at the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the reason to celebrate, the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we think about personalities of Christmas, let's read another portion of the Christmas account. found here in the Gospel of Matthew, beginning with verse 18. Verse 18, the Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." We'll pause in our reading there. Lord, I pray that you would help us this morning to direct our attention towards you. I pray that you would guide in the teaching time here, that that we would give our attention, and that you would be able to communicate what you want. I yield myself to you. I recognize my need for you, and pray that you would direct. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. It's an amazing story. We read and then saw the map there, how the angel appeared to Mary. It seems from the text that Mary is, because it says that Mary went with haste right after the angel had appeared to her the next day or whatever, went with haste, the Bible says, into the hill country of Judah to go and visit her cousin Elizabeth. And we read there in Luke's gospel that she spent 3 months there. 3 months there. I believe that Mary left Nazareth, which is way up there, Nazareth. I believe she left there, went down all that long journey, probably with maybe a caravan of travelers, but she went down into this area. We don't know the town. The Bible doesn't say the town, but it was in the hill country. There are some definite mountainous regions there. And hill country, like the Bible describes, also gives us the idea that it was not an easy journey. I want you to understand that when Mary learned that she was going to have a child out of wedlock, and when she learned that it was the Messiah, this was all very life-changing information, okay? She was yielded to the Lord. She said, "Be it unto me according to thy word," you know? But I believe she left without telling Joseph about the baby. I suppose it could have been she told Joseph and then left. But I tend to think she just said, "Joseph, I'm going to visit my cousin." Right? And she just really felt like she needed to do that. And she probably didn't give Joseph a lot of explanation, but she went. And a long ways away, many days' journey. I mean, to get 90 miles or so into this region, could have been even more than that, but to get down into this region from Nazareth is approximately that distance. So she was down here in the neighborhood of Jerusalem, the neighborhood of Bethlehem, which is right here, about 5 miles south of Jerusalem, Bethlehem is, which is about 80 miles south of Nazareth. And so she was down there for 3 months with Elizabeth, and then she returned, and I'm sure by the time she returned, she was with child. The Holy Spirit had conceived in her womb. the Lord Jesus Christ. And so upon her return to Nazareth, where Joseph had his carpentry business, where Joseph lived, when she returned and then broke the news, which I think is how it happened, Joseph was in a quandary. And that's what we read here in Matthew's gospel, which talks here in verse 19, for example, Matthew chapter 1, verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. So Joseph is entirely thinking that Mary's been unfaithful, right? Here she was away, perhaps, for those 3 months. She's with child. This has just really shattered Joseph's expectations, his dreams, his hopes. And he was going to be kind about it. He wasn't going to make a big open show, but he was going to call off their marriage. But then the angel appears to him, the Bible says, in a dream. It says, verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, Savior, which means Savior. For he shall save his people from their sins. And then the angel quotes to him the prophet Isaiah from Isaiah 7 and verse 14, that a virgin shall be with child, a virgin with child. This was not just, virgin doesn't just mean a young woman, but it means a woman that is has never had sexual relations. And the prophet prophesied that this is how the Messiah would come, that a virgin would be with child. This was an unusual thing. This was a something that had never happened, a virgin with child, and bring forth a son. And his name was just mentioned, would be called Emmanuel, which the Bible says in verse 23 means God with us. God with us. So let's take a moment here as we think about the reason for Christmas, the Lord Jesus Christ, the reason to celebrate. We want to celebrate who Jesus is. He is matchless in his identity. Here we have God come to us. You see, sometimes people get the idea that, you know, there was a day when I was born into the world, and that's when I came into existence. And so here we celebrate Jesus' birthday, and this is when Jesus came into existence. It's not when Jesus came into existence. Jesus is God eternal. Jesus is God in the flesh, God with us. I want you to see a verse here. I've got it from Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. This is the prophet in the Old Testament, Micah. And it says, but thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel. Notice the last phrase I've underlined. Whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. That's the one who's coming. Coming to Bethlehem. This is the verse, in fact, when the wise men came from the east country, came seeking this new king that was born king of the Jews. And they came seeking and looking. And remember, they came into the city of Jerusalem because they couldn't find anybody else who knew about the king. And they came to Jerusalem, and they came there, those wise men did, and they came and they knocked on Herod's door, the king, right? The ruler of that land. And they said, we have heard that there is a king born of the Jews. Where is he that we may worship him? And Herod was like, a king born? And, you know, he felt threatened right away. his rulership, his kingdom. He felt very insecure, and so he inquired, the Bible says, diligently. Notice here in Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, we'll jump right in to verse number 2. Saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it was written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" And so then Herod inquired a little further from the wise men when they saw the star. And then Herod lied to the wise men and said, "Hey, once you go and find him, come back to me and let me know where he is, because I would like to come and worship him too." And so there's more to the story there. But we can see in the prophecy back in the by the prophet Micah hundreds of years earlier how the prophecy came of where he would be born, what lineage he would have of the tribe of Judah, and who would it be? Someone whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. So I want you to understand who Jesus is. We celebrate the coming of God to us. I want you to just notice in the Gospel of John, right over here, a couple of books, the Gospel of John and chapter 1. John chapter 1. It's talking about Jesus. We're going to just pick up our reading here in verse 10. It's talking about Jesus. John chapter 1 and verse 10. The Bible says, "He was in the world, and the world was," could you help me now? "And the world was," wow. "The world was made by him, and the world knew him not." Verse 11 says, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Born of God, verse 13 says. Talking about that new birth, that spiritual birth, that second birth. And so, born of God. And verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So there, verse 10, the portion you read, tells us that Jesus made the world. The world was made by him. So here he is, that beautiful little babe in the manger, there in that stable. There's God come to us. Christmas is a miracle. A miracle because of who Jesus is. I want you to see also, secondly, we can celebrate Christmas, and we should celebrate Jesus because of who he became. Who he became. You see, God did a new thing. When Jesus came and when he was conceived in Mary's womb, it was God becoming one of us. It was God taking on human flesh. He is miraculous in his humanity. Emmanuel is the name we read there in the Gospel of Matthew. His name shall be Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Please notice what the Bible says here in 1 Timothy chapter 2. It talks here about Jesus, and it's the context is about we should pray for all men, pray for kings. And it says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. So we have God, who Jesus is. He is God, the eternal God, the creator of the world. And yet, he became a man. He is eternally God. He is temporarily man. Notice also Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. It says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched." It's a double negative there. "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." So I'm going to read that in a little different way, or just say it in a little different way. We have a high priest which has been touched with the feelings of our weaknesses and was tempted in every way, yet without sin. We have a sinless Savior. We can see here that he is sympathetic to our need. He understands personally the struggle with sin, the battles you and I face. I mean, there's none of us that have achieved to such a place that we do not have a daily struggle with this flesh. Are we going to do right? Are we going to do God's will? Are we going to yield to God? Are we going to go our own way? Are we going to be stubborn? Are we going to be foolish? You know, we learn about the wise men in the Bible who came from the far country in the east. Those wise men actually probably, more certainly, studied the prophecies of Daniel, the prophet Daniel who had gone before them, and from Babylon, which is to the east. And you know, it is likely that those men had not only studied the Bible, which God says wise men study and obey the Bible, right? That's what Jesus said. He said about his teaching in Matthew chapter 7. He said, "If those who hear my word and obey my word," Jesus said, "I will liken them to a wise man which built his house upon a rock," right? And Jesus said, "The person who hears my word but doesn't obey my word is like the foolish man." So these wise men, I'm sure, I know, they knew the scriptures. They knew the Old Testament prophecies, which talked with some accurate timing, talked about when the Messiah would come. And Daniel has a prophecy like that in Daniel chapter 9, which tells us a number of weeks after the rebuilding of Jerusalem, the Messiah would come. And so these men were looking for the Messiah to come. These were men who were seeking God, who were searching the scriptures. And then what they saw in the sky was something amazing. There was something very unique that impressed a message on them with this star. It was probably in conjunction with a constellation, which gave it that emphasis, which caused them to get the message that the Messiah was born. He has come. We've seen his star. And so they came on that long journey to see, to worship, to honor the Lord Jesus. My friend, have you embraced who Jesus is? We've seen who he is. We've seen who he has become, who he became for us. He gave his life. Number three. Celebrate why he came. Celebrate not just who he is, not just who he became, but celebrate why he came. He came to redeem us, a marvelous purpose to redeem us. In Matthew chapter 1, we read this verse but I've got it right here. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. The Bible says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Friends, we have deliverance from sin. There is no one that needs to go to hell. There is no one that needs to be damned for their sin, because we have a Savior. This is the message of the Bible. This is the message of Christ. He came so that we might be saved. The fact of the matter is, the majority of people in this world are headed to hell. There are people, even in churches, who are on their way to hell because they've not trusted Jesus as their Savior. It is critical that we not only remember Christ on Christmas, but that we remember Christ and care about the souls of men, because souls can be saved. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to make some big donation to the Lord's work or something like in order to be saved. No. You don't have to jump through all these hoops or have a trial period of is he going to really do right in his life, or, you know, no, we're sinners. We're doomed. We're damned. And Jesus came that we might be saved. He saved one of the criminals that was crucified with him right next to him on the cross. That man had never had an opportunity to go down and repay like Zacchaeus did, right? Repay all the people he cheated. He never had an opportunity to go back and make those wrongs right, but he made peace with God. And now, obviously, if we have opportunity, we should try to make wrongs right with people. But you know what? Jesus gave his life so that sinners could be saved. That is an awesome thing. God loves us. He has not come to condemn us. He's not come to damn us. He's come to save us from our sin. And if a person honestly trusts Jesus, they will be saved, because God gives his word. And if a person is truly saved, it will show in their life. It will. The testimony will be there along the way. I'd like to share another verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. The Bible says, "For he," that's speaking of God the Father, "for he hath made him," that's Jesus, "God the Father hath made him to be sin for us, that who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So in Jesus, we can be made righteous. Our sin can be taken away because Jesus took it. I'll share another verse from 1 Corinthians 15. The Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel," and then I'll skip a little bit, "how that Christ died for our sins." What did he die for? Our sins. According to the scriptures, the Bible, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And so this is the gospel, the good news, that Christ died for our sins. Jesus is not just a good example for us, although we should follow him. Okay? He's not just it's not just an awesome display of love, although it is. But the fact of the matter is that God gave his all so that we could be saved. Should we not live for him who gave his all for us? You see, in salvation, Jesus gave his all for us so that we could be saved. And as a saved person, God calls us to give our all for Jesus. You see, it's about us living for him, not to be saved. He did the saving. He gave his all so I could be. But my opportunity is to live for Jesus, to do his will instead of the old life, which has its consequences. I can live for Jesus. I can walk with God. I can have fellowship. The joy of Christmas. Why he came. Consider John 8, verse 24. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. There was Jesus talking to some people who were religious but lost. And he said, if you don't believe that I am the Messiah, you will die in your sins. I'll share another one here from John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief, Jesus said, cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus wants us to have life. Life abundant. Victory. Hope in our life. And last of all, we need to celebrate Christmas and celebrate Christ this Christmas. Celebrate who he is. Celebrate who he became. Celebrate why he came. Celebrate Christ. For he is the reason for the season. Are you going to worship him? You know, worship can't be, you know, true worship is not something someone can force on you, right? If you are going to give yourself to honor and adore and to exalt in worship the Lord Jesus Christ, that is something that has to come from the heart, right? Anybody can say words, but if they're not genuine, it's not pleasing to the Lord, right? He sees through that. Are you going to worship the Lord Jesus? Are you going to take time and celebrate Christ this Christmas? Will you give him your attention? Will you lift your voice to bless his name, to praise him? Will you walk in obedience to him? Because of Christ, we have hope. Life has meaning. Christmas. What a beautiful, true story about Jesus coming to us. With heads bowed, with eyes closed, how is it with you? Are you like the bustling city of Bethlehem, where Mary and Joseph came great with child that night and could find no room in the inn? What about the heart? What about your heart, your life? Is there room for Jesus? Have you given him a rightful place? Do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? We will die in our sins if we have not trusted him. Believe, the Bible says, on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. If you're not saved, there's no greater time than this Christmas season, than today, to trust Jesus. What about others? What about those we love, those we know, even those we don't know? Will we tell others about Jesus? Will we spread the message with our life, with our words, with our care for other people's souls? Christmas is a time to spread the joy, the peace that only Jesus can bring. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the celebrations we can have and the remembering of Christ. Lord, I thank you for the young people who sang of his birth this morning. Lord, I just pray that you would help us to honor you in all of our family gatherings, in all of our private meditation times of thinking and pondering. Lord, that we would be surrendered to you, that we would be responsive to your Holy Spirit directing our lives. I thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.